Adam Curry, John C. Dvorak.
It is Sunday, July 26, 2009. Time for your audio, one of those things. Crap!
This is No Agenda.
What I meant to say was your Gitmo Nation audio publication, episode number 116. Clearly, lack of oxygen in the minimum security containment cell here at the Crackpot Command Center in an undisclosed loft location in Gitmo Nation West, San Francisco. I'm Adam Curry.
And from Northern Silicon Valley, as I eagerly await the show to end so I could head down to the camera swap meet in Hayward, I'm John C. Dvorak.
It's Crackpot and Buzzkill
in the morning.
Not one of our finer openings, I apologize.
Well, you were cussing.
Well, because I messed it up. I felt like a douche.
Well,
I was completely unprofessional.
It's a million lines there. Okay.
I bought a radio.
I got the top story. Let's play the music immediately. We're going to get right into it. Hit the theme of real news.
And now, back to real news.
You're missing out, Adam, because you're in the United States. Amsterdam, July 25th. Amsterdam police are deeply concerned about a new craze in which vandals toss parked cars from the Smart brand into the city's canals.
I haven't heard about this.
The so-called smart tossing takes place mainly during the weekend when many youths are out for a night on the town. According to the locally published newspaper, De Telegraaf.
Oh, well, there you go. That explains
police
it.
Police have not wanted to publicize this form of vandalism. This is running in DutchAmsterdam.nl. For fear of copycat incidents, however, police officers are paying extra attention to Amsterdam's canals, especially during the weekends.
Oh, this sounds like bull.
Smart cars are small enough to be parked with a head or tail pointing to the water, and the man who parked his car the other day, he had found it pushed into the canal.
This is bull.
You think?
Maybe one smart car got pushed in the canal. This is not a... I would have heard about this.
Well, of course, then they do say, it's not clear how many smart cars have been vandalized. Wait, they can't get a count of cars in the canal?
No, it's bull. What is this, the Sunday Telegraph that this was published in?
In recent years, vandals have also targeted other smart vehicles, including for car tipping, including the Scootmobiles and tiny cars from the Canter brand.
Well, the Scootmobiles is fun because that's what cripples ride on. So that, of course, is completely cool.
It's an urban version of cow tipping.
You know, this must be in the Sunday paper, which I think the deadline for that is Thursday at midnight.
So I'm just reading you real news, man.
And now, back to real news.
Okay. Sure. Sure.
Okay, you think it's bull.
Yeah, it's totally bull.
So we have to decide on what we're going to do about this flying shrew story. Because,
Flying shrew.
So, because people are, some people, my wife, have complained that we're talking too much about it, but there's some good stuff again.
Well,
that has to be discussed.
Well, can I give you a little bit of a theory, John? Because I'm starting to connect all of the dots. And here's what I see. And it really goes back to about a year ago when we started talking about the analog television UHF signals being shut down. By the way, July 30th is the absolute deadline, I believe, for you to get your converter box. I was just hearing that on the radio this morning.
You can always get a converter box.
Well, no, I mean, the government will subsidize it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry.
Right.
Yeah.
And I recommend that, by the way, to anybody.
Yeah, it's free. It's a free converter box. It doesn't get much better than that. Hold on a second.
And they work very well. I use the Channel Master CM7000. It works like a champ. It's amazing.
The Channel Master. Hold on a second. I got some runaway process here on my Mac. Boom. Nuked. Love it. Okay. So, of course, we discussed this, I believe, on the last No Agenda, the past two shows, that it is a possibility that the reason, because, of course, we always looking for the reason behind these types of moves, the reason for shutting down these UHF signals is because they needed the spectrum. John, you asserted that it was to sell off this spectrum and make $1 billion, which is nothing these days. Goldman Sachs laughs at your billion dollars. And I've been, doing a little bit of research, and there are a number of RFID systems that optimally operate in that frequency range. And of course, we've seen RFID which, you know, we've seen that being used more and more for tracking purposes. It's in most of your pets now if you live in Gitmo Nation East in the United Kingdom or beyond those borders. Now, take into account the swine flu vaccination. It will consist of, I believe, two shots for everybody, two to the arm. Something we kind of overlooked, but which has been in the works and been planned for a long, long time. And it actually, it hit me again the other night while I was reviewing an old David Icke presentation.
God.
The guy has some interesting things to say. I mean, I don't know about the reptilian stuff. But of course, it's long been predicted that we would be chipped through a microchip small enough to be put into a vaccination shot. Now, if you kind of put all these things together and you know that I'm looking for the name of the company, they have this RFID ink, which literally can be, put under the skin. It's already been successfully tested on animals. And you know, it, of course, it doesn't need a power source. It's activated by the external scanner by the receiver. I think there could be a high likelihood that perhaps they're not going for the kill, so to speak, on this round of vaccinations, but maybe they're going for the tagging. Maybe we're all going to get tagged because, of course, you know, they've bought enough vaccinations worldwide for everyone to get two shots. I think that this could be a 1-2 punch. First, we turn off all the television signals. Then we give everyone a vaccination, and we've got the RFID tag with this ink. Right in it's the SoMark ink. That's what it is. SoMark RFID ink. SoMarkInnovations.com. And if you look at SoMarkInnovations.com, they just raised a new round of venture capital financing led by Finister Ventures. And of course, you got to go to Finister Ventures and then look at About Us and Our Team. And the executive chairman, Dr. Jerry Calder, often referred to as the father of architectural biotechnology, Dr. Jerry Calder is the executive chairman of Finister Partners, has an unparalleled record of success in the life science industry. His career began at
Monsanto.
We're going to have to get a job at Monsanto.
Where for 15 years
everybody's been.
He held a number of management positions.
I have now, Monsanto has trained me. I can now go out to the. So, okay.
Where's the deal? Monsanto.
I love it.
Yeah, it's a really good one. So, this, of course, has been developed for the sole purpose, and it doesn't really get. If it gets into your bloodstream, it's not going to be very useful, to be honest about it.
But they can inject it under, because they've got an ink cartridge. Yeah, they can inject it under your skin.
It's just to print it on your skin to get. So it's like a tattoo kind of thing, or like even though you can't see it, but it could be printed on the skin. It, by the way, it would be very easy to use this stuff in a tattoo. So anybody out there getting tattoos should be aware of this. If you find a tattoo parlor that's actually clean, you might be running into a government operation. Anyway, so. It's for cows. They're looking for a huge. There's a big money maker deal going on here. Because I know in Portugal, for example, they've had every cow in the country has got an RFID tag so they can track them. But it's an expensive proposition with this stuff that you're talking about. Essentially, it's like you can have like a rubber stamp and you dip it in this crap and you bang the cow with it and it sticks and it can be read through hair, but it can't be read under the skin.
Yes, it can. No. I read their white paper. It can too. It can go under the skin.
It can go, if it does, it's going, no, it's not going to go under.
Well, it's the same level.
It can barely be picked up 40 feet away when it's on top of the skin.
So, all they have to do is connect all the lamp posts.
And besides that, if it goes into the bloodstream, it's going to get spread out all over the body.
Hey, John, go ahead, take the shots, okay?
I'm not interested in the shots because I know what the shots are really about, which is to use the public as a test bed for all these new adjuvants. So, that's the way I see it. But that's okay. I like this theory. I mean, it's interesting. It's funny.
It's not meant to be funny.
There's a Monsanto angle.
Yes. Multiple Monsanto angles, by the way, if you look at the other investors in that company. There's a whole bunch of Monsanto characters. Well, of course, you know, you're right. Everyone works at Monsanto. We should be underwritten by Monsanto. If those guys really were smart, they would do that.
We're giving them enough publicity. Don't you think? I mean, you know, if they go by the old rule that all publicity is good publicity, you know, we're helping them out. Maybe, you know.
Well, anyway, so yeah.
I think what you, the more interesting thing going on, which you should maybe look into this, you find it at, of all places, is under HHS.gov. Are you familiar with the 2004 Project BioShield?
No. Is this a part of S666?
No, actually,
which was put in motion by Joe Biden. This is government funded.
This is President Bush, and this is not S666. This is a public law.
Okay.
Let me find the details here. Okay. Well, apparently, what the deal is they're using the FDA and others are using Project BioShield as their rationale. For at any given time, apparently, because of Project BioShield, we should have an echo behind that.
I think I might be able to do that.
Project BioShield.
Wait. I wasn't ready. I don't know if it'll work. All right, try it again.
Project BioShield.
No, that sucked. No, sorry. It did not work. Fail. I don't know.
So anyway, if you start looking into Project BioShield, it turns out that
here it is. Try it again.
Project BioShield.
Yeah, good. Okay.
Is that good?
Yeah, it's cool.
Do we sound like a Mexican radio station?
Yes. You're coming through just
ocho, ocho, ocho.
Okay.
So Project BioShield was a $5.6 billion law signed into by Bush in 2004 that was supposed to protect the public from biological and chemical warfare.
John, this was initiated through S666, which was set in place by Joe Biden. You go ahead and read that, and I'll bring up 666, because this is exactly what this was a part of.
It was 666?
Yes, that's what I like about it.
Okay. On July 21st, 2004, President Bush signed the Project BioShield Act of 2004. The part of the law is a broader strategy to defend America against the threat of weapons of mass. And if you read through this stuff, it's always the threat of weapons of mass destruction.
Here's the lead-in. On March 19th, 2003, Senator Joseph Lieberman, I'm sorry, it wasn't Biden, Lieberman, introduced S-666, the Biological, Chemical, and Radiological Weapons Countermeasures Research Act. That was the setup. S666, the mark of the beast.
Yeah, that is funny. That's funnier than this.
Keep going, man.
S666. These guys, what are these guys just fooling around?
Of course they are. They're like, hey, dude, check this out, man. I got a great idea.
S666.
Yeah, I'm going to send you the link while you're talking.
So this is all about weapons of mass destruction. They're going to do this, and they're going to stockpile viruses and do this and that. And the other thing, it somehow got twisted over to the Homeland Security group, and it's actually a page on it. It links to Homeland Security and Counterterrorism page that's on the whitehouse.gov/issues/Homeland Security, one of their transparent web pages that has not been updated since July 9th.
Cool.
And most of the other stuff on here is really just old posts, but it's about, you know, the same thing. We strengthen our bio and nuclear security, and it goes on and on with the same kind of thing. Somehow somebody's reinterpreted this thing, and it now allows the government or government agencies or CDC or anybody who really wants to declare that like anything is a virtual attack. So H1N1 can be pushed underneath this Project BioShield, which allows them to declare that they can say any vaccine that goes out there doesn't have to be tested. It's just because it's such an emergency situation because we're being attacked.
And they're all immune from lawsuits because that was just signed.
Yeah, they put that in. That was a weak spot that they had to fix.
Yeah, because if you die from the vaccination, then you can't sue the company or the government or anybody.
And I'm thinking, you know, this is what these guys do. They get some law that has some meaning in 2004, and it's very specific to weapons of mass destruction if you read through any of this stuff. But then they just take, well, why don't we use that? Why don't we twist it and take what it wasn't meant to be used for and use it for that instead? And this is what the problem with having too many laws is. End of story.
So along that, I pulled some information on Baxter International, who, of course, are along with Novartis AG, are making a lot of the vaccines and the adjuvants to go with it. Baxter International, 605 million shares outstanding, 88% institutional ownership, which is kind of what you want, 5% inside ownership. Who holds these shares in this company? Let's see. State Street Global Advisors, Barclays Global Investors. This is kind of typical, I guess. Fidelity Management, Vanguard Group. But of course, Goldman Sachs holds a nice piece of Baxter International.
Hmm. That's a shocker.
Yep. And on Bill Maher, Real Time with Bill Maher.
Oh, brother.
It really surprised me. He has this little satellite... satellite interview that he does with someone at the beginning of the show, and he had on the satellite live from Washington. I presume she was in Washington. Maybe she was in the studio next door. You know, kind of like the way they did the moon landing. Janet Napolitano, and I was wondering, you know, why is she on this show? You know, and he had some funny bits. You know, he was talking about, hey, when can I take shampoo on the plane back, you know, on the plane again? And why do we have to
hilarious.
Take... Well, it was funny. It was all about the timing, of course. And he had some good bits about the shoe bomber. And he said, well, what if someone had an exploding bra? Would we all have to take our bras off? And, you know, of course, you look at Janet and you think, oh, my God, you know, what kind of bra would she be wearing? She's, you know, she looks like a man. He's kind of frightening in that regard. But then it kind of hit me as I started to look at a few news reports. Do you know that starting, I think it's tomorrow, Department of Homeland Security is coordinating the national level exercise to prevent terrorist attacks with all federal, state, local, tribal, private sector, and international partners? This is a week-long exercise.
Really?
Yes. Of course, you don't know about it.
I will when I try to go to the government offices.
Well, here it is.
They're all like, look like they're all handcuffed.
Well, here's the press release. Department of Homeland Security will launch on Monday the 5-day national level exercise 2009, better known as NLE-09er, the first national level exercise to focus on terrorism prevention in conjunction with all of the, including the international partners. So here's Janet's quote, coordinating with our partners across the United States and around the world is critical to protecting the nation from terrorist attacks, said Secretary Janet Napolitano. The national level exercise allows us to test our capabilities in real time to refine and strengthen our strategies for preventing terrorist attacks. And I will remind you that on the very 2 days before 9/11, we had a similar such exercise. Everyone was conveniently in the right spot, including FEMA, who were all in New York City at the time, rehearsing for, go figure, a national emergency like airplanes flying into buildings. So it's always interesting to watch what happens
when
this takes place. The NLE-09er scenario focuses on preventing a terrorist from entering the United States to carry out additional attacks in the aftermath of a terrorist event outside of the country, prioritizing intelligence and law enforcement activities that detect, disrupt, and deter preventable terrorist incidents.
What does that all mean?
Crackdown is all I can see.
Crackdown.
Oh, by the
what? Well, that when you hear the thunk at your door tomorrow, you know, sometime, that locks those deadbolts that you don't even know are there. You're going to be stuck in that.
So I'm thinking, you know, she went on the show and she's probably going to do some more press, kind of to get you used to seeing her on television. Because
that's going to turn the public off.
Well, when you see that, it's like, oh my God, look at her. We must be in trouble. There's an ugly person on television.
Even Bush, you know, when he had that last press, whatever, you know, the press, what's the press agent? What's the name of the press secretary?
Press secretary, yeah.
She was kind of hot looking.
Mm. Kind of hot looking, but then they beat her up. Remember that? She had that black eye because she said something wrong and they beat her.
I don't remember the black eye.
She had a real shiner.
Oh, somebody must have punched her then.
Yeah. It's like,
oh, wait, no, she fell into a doorknob.
Whoops.
How does that work, by the way? How do you fall into a doorknob?
So, participating in this exercise, this is kind of interesting, a broad spectrum of component agencies, whatever that means, offices and commands. I love these terms. Yeah, component agencies. They will all participate in the exercise. So this is going to be busy. I mean, there's 200,000 people in the Department of Homeland Security. NLE-09 activities will take place at command posts, emergency operations centers, intelligence centers, and field locations throughout the country, including federal headquarter facilities in the Washington, D.C. area, as well as federal, regional, state, tribal, local, and private sector facilities in Arkansas, Louisiana, New Mexico, Oklahoma, Texas, and, John, here we go, California. International partner nations will include Australia, Canada, Mexico, and the United Kingdom. The Navajo Nation will also participate. I love how they throw that in. Now, along with this...
Where did you get this?
From the Department of Homeland Security website.
Oh, we need to look at that website more. How come it got no press by the media? How come the New York Times didn't mention this? Did they?
I haven't seen anything about it.
Huh. So, I mean, I think the local news would pick it up. It's kind of interesting if they're going to do a massive thing like this. It doesn't sound like a two-bit exercise in earthquake preparedness.
It's tremendously interesting. Now, on the heels of this, good old Dexter, my daughter's boyfriend, sent me a couple of messages. He said, "Hey, Adam, I found this card while walking near the London house. And wondering what it's for exactly, as it sounds intriguing, thought you might be able to shed some light on it." So I have pictures of this card. It's a picture of a guy's face. It says HS underneath his head. On the back, it says, "Emergency Broadcast Service, London. In the event of a major incident affecting the London office, this service allows you to listen to a pre-recorded message giving instructions on what to do." And it has the number and the code. So I figured we'd call in and see if there's any emergency messages. Are you game?
Oh, yeah, go for it.
Okay, hold on.
Are we going to do this in real time?
I'm going to try.
Yeah.
Thank you for using OnCall. Please enter your OnCall reservation number followed by the hash key.
Hold on.
You entered reservation number 44623. Is this correct?
Yes.
Press 1 for yes, 2 for no.
Yeah.
Press 1 to listen to a recording, or 2 for playback instructions.
This is Sarah Mitchell at Herbert Smith updating the emergency broadcast service for week commencing 20th of July 2009. There are no current alerts to report. But should this change throughout the week, then this message will be updated. Thank you.
Press 1 to listen again. If you wish to exit,
again.
Please...
All right.
So okay, here's the obvious question.
So I know what
comes
this
right
is.
To mind immediately.
Sure.
Why do you need a code?
Well, I think what this is, and I'm not quite sure what the... I think this is a general system. What do you call it? The Encore reservation system? I think this is probably a central system, and you call in. So here's what I think it is. I think that within corporations around Gitmo Nation East, and probably in the U.S. as well, they have these citizens who are to be activated when there's some form of national emergency, and so they're a part of a corporate program that should there be some kind of emergency, you are to call in. You dial your reservation number. In this case, it was 44623, and then that's your company's information, what your company's team has to do. That's what I think it is. But it sounded kind of ominous, emergency broadcast system and all this stuff. I mean, what are they expecting?
Well, the other thing is, now where did Dexter find this thing?
It was on the ground. Someone had dropped it.
Oh, some guy dropped it. So this guy's in trouble now. Because you're just,
he is.
Just casually calling it using his number.
Using his PIN code. You gotta love it, man.
Wow.
So no one's looking at this at all. No one's reported on it that I can see. And you know, about this big exercise. And I think that's pretty big to have an NLE 09er exercise going on.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
The whole thing is fishy.
And I actually have to say, I have a feeling that our president may be, it's possible, John, that he is actually a counteragent.
Oh, please.
Because, no, I was thinking about this whole professor.
He's a counteragent to who, for
to the,
what?
To the good guys. Listen, no, bear with me
for a
second.
Oh, you think he's a bad guy?
No, I think he's a good guy.
Oh, you think he's a good guy?
Yeah, and it, all of a sudden it hit me. So we've got all this crap going on, right? Particularly, well, the two main ones are the propagation of the swine flu bullshit, and the other one, of course, is the healthcare bill. So while everyone's desperately trying to get this thing to the vote so that, you know, whatever they can do to us, they can do for other purposes, as the bill states, all of a sudden, during his press conference, which is about the healthcare bill, he throws out this complete non sequitur about how the police are stupid. I'm like,
I know, so this is hilarious.
He's drawing the attention away from the entire debate. Now this thing is never going to get to vote before the recess. So maybe he's actually a really good guy.
That's an interesting theory because, you know, now he's dragging it out instead of saying, look out.
He's making it worse. Now they're going to have a press conference where they have a kegger together. They're going to drink some beers at the White House.
They're going to bring the two guys in.
Yeah.
To his place, and then they're going to sit and talk about it.
So I'm thinking, you know, maybe the guy has a little, little secondary agenda going on there. Think about it.
It's a very unique argument because I was prepared to discuss it only on the basis that he decided to pull a stereotype out of the blue.
The police are stupid?
That the police are stupid, and if there's a black man involved, the police are wrong. And I mean, that's like the stereotype in the black community.
Did you see his where he busted into the press conference where Gibbons was doing the daily briefing, and the president walks in. This is a big deal, you know, when the president walks into the press briefing, and then he goes
on. Did everybody
and on.
Stand up?
Yes, everyone stood up, and he said, please
You're
sit
kidding.
Down. Yep, they
He's
all
not
stood
a
up.
Judge.
No, they all stood up. Oh, the brave! Here's the press. And he went into this long thing, like just drew it out even instead of saying, hey, you know, all right, that was kind of dumb. I shouldn't have said that, which would have been cool. He could have stopped the whole thing right there. He drew it out even longer. I'm like, okay, clearly he has to be drawing attention purposely away from anything else that's on the agenda. Because this, of course, is what everyone's talking about now. So he did a good thing in my mind.
Well, it depends. Maybe they, because, you know, everyone's talking about this now. They're not talking enough about some of the craziness in that healthcare bill.
Well, have you been tracking these mayors and rabbis who were arrested in New Jersey? Have you heard about this at all?
No, you got me on that one too.
Oh, dude.
This is huge.
This is huge. So there were these rabbis who apparently were laundering millions and millions of dollars, and they drew this into, they're like five mayors were arrested.
This is the corruption story. Yeah, the basis of this story, by the way, that's believed by some political operatives, is this is a payback because apparently there was some, amongst the Republicans and the Democrats, there's been some political back and forths going on where people were rubbing each other's back, and then some guy said, no, I'm not going to do that anymore. It says, oh, okay, we're going to get you arrested. You can't arrest me because we're going to arrest your guys. And the next thing you know, this is the result, this ridiculous situation that you're describing.
I think what this is rolling up the Israeli spy ring that has infiltrated all of our police forces and government, who were probably indirectly responsible for 9/11.
No.
And there are some, and there are, John, there are some actual dots to connect here. Do you remember the guys who had a moving van and they were cheering when the towers came down, and at first they were said to be Palestinians, and it turns out there was some Israeli guys from Jersey. Do you remember that?
I don't remember there any confirmation of who those guys were.
Oh, well, the Bergen Record.
And in fact, the whole story's fishy.
The Bergen Record, I'm just saying, it was in the newspaper. The Bergen Record did confirm that they were Israelis, and they worked for an outfit called the Urban Moving System in New Jersey, which is one of these companies that was involved in this whole money laundering thing with these rabbis and with these mayors. So there's all kinds of it's a lot of dot connecting, but you know, maybe Obama's onto something.
Keep working on it.
I'm definitely going to keep working on it. I'm excited though, because you know I desperately want someone to be good.
Well, I mean, it's possible you could also be working for Monsanto, which is more likely.
Monsanto. Yeah. Okay.
You love that. That's actually a pretty good. We need more of those.
That's Jeff Smith, man. He does the best. So a couple of good YouTube clips that I have. Because while all of the debate was going on about the health care bill, remember I was trying to watch some of the hearings with Bernanke and Paulson? And a lot of these congressmen, in particular to Alan Grayson and who's the other guy I have here? Cliff Stearns of Florida. And I got to play these two clips because they are just hilarious. And you have to listen to Paulson, our former Secretary of the Treasury, the guy who handled all of our finances, the guy who was the ex-Goldman Sachs CEO who hooked up all his buddies. So now we have congressmen who have finally really delved into the material, the stuff that we've been talking about here for months. And by the way, I got to prop Max Kaiser. If you've, I'm sure you've seen some of his stuff, John, Max Kaiser.
Yeah.
Because he's been all over this, and he's been on different outlets really berating Goldman Sachs. But this is from C-SPAN, and it's, of course, recorded by the C-SPAN junkie who these days has a different website. I think it's Obama or earthtoobama.org. Just listen to this for a second. It's
Thank
hilarious.
You, Mr. Chairman. Chairman Bernanke, I'm looking at the report that out this morning.
This is for Bernanke.
You take your copy and turn to page 26.
So this is Alan Grayson.
Okay.
And he's actually going to laugh at Bernanke.
There's a table on page 26 which consists of your balance sheet. And one of the entries on the balance sheet is under assets, central bank liquidity swaps, which shows an increase from the end of 2007 from $24 billion to $553 billion in change at the end of 2008. What's that?
Those are swaps that were done with foreign central banks. Many many foreign banks are short dollars, and so they come into our markets looking for dollars and drive up interest rates and create volatility in our markets. What we have done is, with a number of major central banks, like the European Central Bank, for example, we swap our currency, dollars, for their currency, euros. They take the dollars, lend it out to the banks in their jurisdiction. That helps bring down interest rates in the global market for dollars. And meanwhile, we're not lending to those banks. We're lending to the central bank. The central bank is responsible for repaying us.
So, mumbo jumbo. Did you understand any of that, John?
A little bit.
Okay.
So who got the money?
To financial institutions in Europe and other countries.
Which ones?
I don't know.
I don't know. Somebody.
$500 trillion. I don't know. I don't know.
It gets better.
$500 trillion, and you don't know who got the money?
The loan went to the loans go to the central banks, and they then put them out to their.
And that, by the way, is our money. It's our money that this douchebag is lending out to people he don't know. I don't know who got the money. I just lend it out.
They're institutions to try to bring down short-term interest rates in dollar markets around the world.
Well, let's start with which central banks got the money.
There are 14 of them, which are listed in our... I'm sure they're listed in here somewhere.
I'm sure. He doesn't know the central... they're listed in here somewhere. I mean, somewhere I've got the information.
All right. So who actually made that decision to hand out $1 trillion that way? $500 trillion. Who made that decision?
The Federal Open Market Committee.
Okay. And was it done at one time or in a series of meetings?
A series of meetings.
And under what legal authority?
We have a longstanding legal authority to do swaps with other central banks. It's not an emergency authority of any kind.
Anything specific about it?
Do you know the...
So now he's looking around. Now he's getting nervous.
My counsel says Section 14 of the Federal Reserve Act.
All right. We actually looked at one of the arrangements, and one of the arrangements is $9 billion for New Zealand. That works out to $3,000 for every single person who lives in New Zealand. Seriously, wouldn't it have been better to extend that kind of credit to Americans rather than New Zealanders?
It's not costing Americans anything. We're getting interest back, and it comes back. It's not at the cost of any American credit. We are extending credit to Americans.
Well, wouldn't it necessarily affect the credit markets if you extend $500 billion in
okay, he's setting them up, John. You're going to love it. Here it comes.
Credit to anybody?
We are lending to all U.S. Financial institutions in exactly the same way.
Well, look at the next page. The very next page has the U.S. dollar nominal exchange rate, which shows a 20% increase in the U.S. dollar nominal exchange rate at exactly the same time that you were handing out $500 billion. Do you think that's a coincidence?
Yes.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, it's good. It's a coincidence.
It's a coincidence that there's
a coinky dink.
Coinky dink, a 20% nominal change in the exchange rate. And then there's. So here's another part. I think this was with Paulson, who gets really nervous. This is Cliff Stearns, and he lays into him. Here, hold on a second.
Thank you very much. I ask unanimous consent that Mr. Stearns and Mr. Garrett be allowed to participate, and of course, without objection, so ordered. And I now
thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Stearns.
And Mr. Paulson, I hear your pain when you said you're just pained to be on that side of the table answering the gentleman's question. But isn't it true that Goldman Sachs benefited from AIG bailout? They got $13 billion and was the largest recipient of the public funds from AIG. And in fact, creating the collateralized debt obligation, the CDOs, form the basis of the current crisis we have today. But while you were CEO of Goldman Sachs, you were an active part of that business. So my problem is when you say you're pained by AIG, I go back to your bait and switch when you came here into Congress and you suddenly decided instead of buying the toxic loans, you're going to go out and start to give money to these people. So if you didn't have any credibility on the bait and switch, how do you have any credibility today to come before us and tell us that you're pained by AIG?
Well, let me respond.
Do you understand the credibility you have? You came here, you said in this 2.5-page bill that you wanted $750 billion. Then immediately after you got approval from Congress, you changed it. You baited us on, then you switched it, and then you started giving money to these institutions, the top 15 institutions. When all these people who had the loans, you could have worked out a homeowner's equity plan around this country to help the people who are actually having their homes foreclosed. And you're helping AIG, and you're helping Bank of America, and you're bankrupting Lehman Brothers, who is your biggest competition. Isn't there some point you should have recused yourself and said, you know something, all my buddies in Goldman Sachs are over there. You know, I really feel that I shouldn't be making these decisions to make Lehman Brothers go bankrupt, that I really should recuse myself. And the fact is that you're coming here and say you feel the pain of AIG. It's just outrageous.
Well, I would like to respond to you, Congressman, because I find your statement outrageous.
I find your statement outrageous. You can't say this to me. I am Hank Paulson.
Well, let me tell you, I have the time, Mr. Paulson. Let me just
shut
say
the fuck up, Hank.
No, I just want you to speak to them.
Well, I want you to take a look at some of these videos, because what this is really about is that Paulson lied. He and Bernanke had a number of phone calls where they basically said, look, Bank of America is about to report, you know, this huge loss. Merrill Lynch is about to report this huge loss. They really, you know, so Bank of America didn't want to acquire Merrill Lynch. And what happened is Paulson and Bernanke strong-armed Ken Lewis of Bank of America into making the merger go through, even though Lewis didn't want to do it.
Right. And this is a known fact.
Right, but he's sitting there lying about it, saying that, oh, that didn't happen, and I can't remember what we discussed. And, of course, Bernanke says, I can't remember what we discussed. And
well, the point that this guy makes, I think we could have made ourselves, and should have been made, I think, but this is a while ago, is that, in fact, Lehman Brothers, when they're the ones that were put out of business, that's what triggered the financial collapse. And Lehman Brothers was indeed
the biggest competitor of Goldman Sachs.
The number one competitor for Goldman Sachs.
There was a hatred.
And so he could have put either one of those two companies out of business, but he chose Lehman Brothers. Gee, go figure.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to play all of these clips, but they will all be in the show notes at noagenda.mevio.com and noagenda.squarespace.com. But also, Congresswoman Kaptur, she has a great rap where she essentially uncovers the fact that Goldman got this huge $9 billion loan from us, from the United States people, from the government, to be paid back at their discretion. The actual loan agreement says, whenever you feel it's right to pay us back, you can pay us back at their discretion. And she actually did the numbers. Remember when Warren Buffett invested $5 billion in Goldman Sachs?
Yep.
Okay. So if you do the numbers, it turns out that his $5 billion actually completely was offset by the almost $10 billion that the United States people put in. The profit came right back to him. I mean, she completely uncovers the entire thing. And this is on C-SPAN. It's out there in the public eye. And you know, there's no outrage. We all just...
outrage because it's not being covered.
How are John and Kate doing, by the way?
At plus eight?
Yes. How are John and Kate doing? Are they
okay?
You know, okay?
I only watched, some people I know actually are addicted to that show. I tried to watch it once. I could not get through an entire episode.
Of course
I found
not.
It to be so annoying.
It's crap.
And banal that it was impossible to watch. I mean, if it was good entertainment, you know, where the people were actually having some fun or doing something interesting and they just weren't these two duds, I would probably watch the. I can't. You know, most of the TV sucks.
Yeah, blah. I'm looking for my.
I did find the reference to the emergency use authorization of medical products. I need to read it because it's kind of interesting about this operation, whatever.
Oh, the NLE-09?
BioShield Act.
Right.
This guidance explains FDA's policies for authorizing the emergency use of medical products under Section 564 of the Federal Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act, which was amended by the Project BioShield Act of 2004 somehow. Section 564 permits the FDA commissioners to authorize the use of unapproved medical product or an unapproved use of an approved medical product.
Sure.
During a declared emergency.
So all they have to do is declare emergency under PD 51, Presidential Directive 51, and they can do whatever they want.
Yeah, so what's the point of even having the FDA? Meanwhile, I got a note from Kevin Hartley, who says, I thought you might find this interesting. The CDC sent this out today, 7/24. RT CDC flu update. You have a copy of this, too. 43,771 cases of novel H1N1 flu. 302 deaths, 55 states and territories affected.
Yeah.
This is nothing.
No, 30,000 people a year die from regular flu. You were talking about the FDA.
No, it's 300,000.
I thought it was 300,000? Well, worldwide, but in the U.S., 30,000,
yeah.
I thought. Okay.
No, it's more. I think it's more. Well, I mean, I think it's more like 40 or more. I'll get the number again, but whatever the case is, well, this is pretty lame. And this brings me back to this tweaking thing that the WHO said they're going to tweak the virus.
Yeah.
This bugs me, by the way, more than anything else, that just simple word, we're going to tweak the virus. What do you mean you're going to tweak the virus? What is the WHO doing tweaking anything?
Before we move away from the FDA, John, it's time for another episode of
Shadow Puppet Theater.
Have you heard about the new U.S. food safety czar who has been appointed? Another little ditty that slipped under the radar.
I'm waiting for the czar of czars.
The man called Michael Taylor.
Oh, wait, I can see this coming already. Here we go.
All I have to do is play this. You already know where we're at. This guy, in fact, Huffington Post even wrote a story about it, and it leads in with the person who may be responsible for more food-related illnesses and death than anyone in history has just been made the U.S. food safety czar. No joke. And then they go into the whole backstory.
No joke.
This is about when FDA scientists were asked to weigh in on what was to become the most radical and potentially dangerous change in our food supply, the introduction of genetically modified foods. Secret documents now reveal that the experts were very concerned. And, of course, this Michael Taylor was involved in pushing all of that through. And here it is. This month, he has become the senior advisor to the commissioner of the FDA. He is, in all effects and purposes, the America's food safety czar. While Taylor was at the FDA in the early 90s, he also oversaw the policy regarding
Monsanto.
genetically engineered bovine growth hormone injected into cows to increase the milk supply. This is the guy that gave us all that crap.
Yeah, and he also gave us all those lawsuits. There were a couple of reporters that were ruined by Monsanto because they had reported on this, on the fact that Monsanto had used the government to make it so you could not put on a carton of milk. This does not contain the BST.
Exactly. And,
they said, no, you can't put that on the carton. You can't put that. It doesn't contain this because there's nothing wrong with this stuff. And so they started suing people.
But I think they did it in a really crazy way where there was only like one state where they had to put it on. And because it was impossible to print different cartons for just one state, it became economically infeasible or something like that. There was some tricky way they did that.
Well, I don't know what that. I don't remember that. All I remember is they didn't want to differentiate the milk that had been developed or that had been pumped out of cows shot up with this crap, as opposed to normal milk. And so they made a big fuss about it because the government apparently had decided that this agent, the growth hormone, was not anything bad about it, so you couldn't put in on the carton that it didn't contain it. It was a weird logic. It was just this reverse logic.
Or as we say,
don't look over here.
Nothing to see here.
Ooh, look at that.
And there's a couple of reporters that did a whole, in fact, I think they finally did a documentary after they got fired by their state. I think they were TV guys, and the station had fired them under pressure from Monsanto.
Of course.
And, because most station owners haven't got any, you know, they haven't got any backbone.
Well, no, because
look at who's advertising
on these stations. It's all these companies. It's, you know, it's the pharmaceutical industry. It's the food, the genetically modified food industry. Of course they have no backbone, because if they overstep the line, then those guys pull ads and they're out of business anyway. So it's like, well, if they had backbone, I guess they'd just say, take me out of business. You're right. That's what they should be doing.
And anyway,
go ahead.
Sorry?
No, I was going to rail.
Well, go rail.
Well, what I was going to say, if you're wondering why you don't see this stuff in the New York Times or in other, you know, real news outlets, here's a little ditty. The New York Times company turned a profit in the second quarter. Of course, you got to read a little bit closely into what exactly happened. So they made a profit of $39.1 million on Thursday, up from $21.1 million, which, by the way, is nothing in the grand scheme of profits they should be making. And if you go into the numbers and you want to figure out why, there's two things. One, of course, they cut costs like crazy. So they pretty much still employ the cartoon guy. I don't think they employ actual journalists anymore.
No, they got plenty. They got too many. They still need to cut back more. But yeah, but that's the way you make profits. You just fire everybody.
But here it is. I'm looking for the actual word. Shit! I wish I had a highlighter on my website that I keep. They had a I'm looking for the verbiage. I'm sorry. There was some kind of special government tax credit they got.
Oh.
Exactly. That's what I said. They're getting fucking breaks from the government.
So, oh, well, there goes the critical analysis.
Exactly. Shit, I can't find the... I'm sorry. It's called A Favorable Tax Adjustment Inflated the Earnings in the Most Recent Quarter. What the hell is that? A Favorable Tax Adjustment. Can I have one of those, please?
We can use one at the show here.
A favorable, and of course, in the New York Times, where they report on their own profit, Richard Perez Pena, they don't actually say what the favorable tax adjustment was. But it certainly affected their earnings. So, you know, that's just...
So then now the government, why don't the government just take them over?
Well, we talked about that happening in the Netherlands, where the Dutch government is now subsidizing 60 reporters. And no one says anything. Oh, that's okay. That shouldn't be a problem. They work for the Ministry of Truth now.
Ministry of Truth.
That's fine.
So there's a... I got a letter from... actually, you did too. Hezzy Cohen.
Hmm. Hello? John?
Rayleigh correspondent.
Hold on, John. Hold on. I lost you there for a second. You there?
Yeah.
Okay. Hezi Cohen. Yeah.
Yeah, we got a letter from Hezi Cohen, who's now our Israeli correspondent, hopefully, reporting that there's a new bill that they're trying to pass, shove through the Big Brother law.
Okay.
And it looks like the Knesset's working with HP directly to develop a giant computerized system that can track everybody. And here's the kind of the kicker. The bill's a danger to privacy, blah, blah, blah. Of course, what else is new? Here it states that you could be jailed for up to 5 years for refusing to give your fingerprints or facial features. And there's not one penalty for leaking data.
Fantastic. Hmm.
Good to know. Of course, nobody mentions this. Whether actually she does cite a boy or he. I don't know. Is Hezi a female or male name in Israel? I don't know. I'll get a note back for sure. It's probably a guy. There are some news articles about it. Washington Post has one article. That's about it. And then there's a few Israeli links. Anyway.
Update from the World Health Organization plan for the takeover of the USA from July 27th. Contact has been made, this is interesting, to the German army to be involved in the FEMA World Health Organization takeover of the USA starting tomorrow. This, of course, would fit perfectly. This is brand new from one of our producers, from Jake. hold on a second. This is great. This is a great website. Birdflu666.wordpress.com. A 76-page guide on how to monitor communications traffic of the various UN, Homeland Security, and FEMA units being deployed under the World Health Organization and the UN banner starting Monday on American soil in large-scale pandemic and counterterrorism exercises is now available. And I haven't looked at this. It's a PDF file. But quoting from it, the American, so that's, it seems kind of conspiracy theorist-like, but it does tie into what's happening. Remember, this happened exactly just before 9/11. FEMA was involved in this large-scale operation. It was just a test, nothing to see here, and then something happens, and of course, they're all conveniently in the right spot at the right time. I mean, I don't want to get
everyone. Let's go back over this German troops thing.
Okay.
What is this?
Okay, well, let me read it to you.
So I just kind of freeze up when I hear stuff like that. I don't pay attention to anything else you say.
This morning I contacted the German army and am preparing to send them directly a summary of the reasons, evidence, and arguments why I believe the entire German population, like the U.S., Austrian, Irish, French, Polish, indeed the entire world population, blah, blah, blah. This relates back to the vaccines. And what he's saying is that German troops are to be used in the martial law exercise by FEMA and Homeland Security, which is to be carried out on American soil starting July 27th.
Where does this come from, A? And B, if true, who's paying for this?
Well, let's look at the...
Hey, we got the economy in a decline here. These guys are taking a vacation of 5 weeks, our Congress
people. Conveniently.
Conveniently, yeah, there you go. And then these boneheads are going to be shipped over here at somebody's expense?
Well, here it is. It's the National Interoperability Field Operations Guide. That's what the PDF is of. You want me to send you this link? I mean, I think we need
to. Yeah, you might as well look at it later.
I think we need to do some research on this to really figure out what it is. But apparently, German troops are going to be used. Well, this is okay. So this is about.
I thought we won World War II.
apparently not. Apparently, they get a do-over. The Germans get a do-over on this stuff.
Well, as long as you open up a couple of beer palaces, the Germans will be happy.
And under the auspices of, I should not assume that you've seen everything, I presume that you have seen the FEMA patent on the coffins.
No, this one you got me on.
Oh, really?
You're beating me up today.
Oh, my God. Okay, so you know these coffins that have been videotaped all over the place at these at the FEMA containment camps?
Yeah. I wonder if there are really coffins or escape pods.
Yeah, good luck. It's funny. I've seen pictures of guys who have, these guys go out to these so-called containment camps, and they'll actually sit in these coffins, lie down in them and shit, and take pictures of themselves. So this is what it is.
The black humor of the American.
So you've seen the pictures, right, of these coffins stacked up, thousands and thousands of them. So here's the patent for the multifunctional cremation container for a cadaver. Filed May 28th, 1993. It's a multifunctional cremation container for a cadaver. A rectangular container is enclosed on five sides by four container side panels. And it is these things. When you look at it, it is exactly, it's a drawing of, you know, of these containment coffins or whatever. And the way it works is you put the cadaver in, and then there's, you know, there's little spots to put whatever mixture of sulfuric acid or whatever in there, so that then the body completely disintegrates inside.
It doesn't have to be a cadaver, does it?
Yeah, well, it's a good fit, I'll tell you that.
No, I'm just saying you could put a live person in there.
Oh, yeah, of course. Well, but that would be breaking the patent, so we could sue them. Hey, man, I'm alive. You can't put me in there. I have to be dead. So a link to that in the show notes. At noagenda.mevio.com. I think you should just take a look at this, John.
I'm always game for a good...
It's a good patent. Here you go. That should take you right to it. I can't believe that you haven't seen this. This has been another thing that's been floating around for... So it was granted this patent June 20th, 1995. And if you and this is only one page of it, there are actually pages of the patent where you see a body in it, you know, a drawing. It's quite spectacular.
Yeah, I ended up opening up that guide.
Did I?
It's quite spectacular. How can a coffin be spectacular?
Well, no, because you look at it, you're like, that's exactly the one that you see in all these pictures. It is.
Why are
you have
Von Braun? Is this like a joke? Werner Braun Braun?
It's not Werner.
Raymond. So it's a German guy. Okay, that makes sense.
Look at it. Do you see the coffin? Isn't that exactly...
Yeah, I'm looking at the coffin now. It looks like an egg carton.
Yeah, but go look at all those pictures. Look at the videos on YouTube. It's exactly the one.
We're trying to decide. Multifunction cremation container.
Anyway. So all of this, of course, is really meant just to keep us afraid and try and actually get us, but the shadow government, they know that we're in complete ascension and that our DNA is programmed to
The funny thing is we got some letters from people saying, I got one note from somebody, I think they were Australia or someplace, saying people are signing up on waiting lists so they can take the flu shot.
I got reports about that.
They're not going to require the flu shot, but they won't have to. There's going to be everybody's going to line up except for the listeners to this show.
Yep.
Who'll probably get some Relenza just in case. Mm-hmm. And although we're not medical people and we can't tell you what to do.
Now you're worried about being sued?
But, you know, everyone's going to line up and they're going to be like the sheep. You know, it's going to be unbelievable.
Yeah, because they're going to want to go first.
They're all going to be irked, by the way, when half of them drop dead from this whatever weird crap they put in there.
Do you want to talk a bit more about that?
No, I think we talk too much about this topic.
I agree. But what I was going to say...
It's going to keep coming up until the thing passes, which it won't be until November. We're going to keep talking about this stupid swine flu, which hasn't killed anybody, basically, except people that are already sick.
They had respiratory diseases, yeah.
And usually they die of pneumonia when it really boils, and then when you really read the story, you know, they had pneumonia, and then they got swine flu, and then they dropped dead, and gosh, unbelievable. What a strange disease.
So what I was going to say is that what many, many people know, including those who listen to this show, and John, you're not going to buy into this, but it'll keep us alive, so hear me out, is that our DNA is programmed to evolve. You know, obviously, evolution didn't stop with Monsanto. You know, we as human beings continue to evolve, and our brain capacity is expanding. Now we are connected globally. We have global knowledge and consciousness through the internet. Of course, we're still, you know, it's training wheels time. We're still trying to figure it out, and we're still communicating through our fingertips instead of directly through our brains. But we are intended to become much more evolved, much smarter, much more connected on a much, on a, not a spiritual level, but on a global consciousness level. Many of the governments know this, and they're just trying to stop this from happening because they've got too much invested in it, but they're not really going to win because we are going to evolve and we're going to be okay, but it will be a rough ride because these guys are just trying to stop it. That's why the Bushes are moving to Paraguay. That's why everyone's stealing all the money right now. That's why they have the seed banks in Colorado and the big vault. You know, they want to protect themselves. But we'll
be
okay.
The big seed banks up in the Greenland area somewhere.
I thought there was one in Colorado as well.
They got the big whoppers up in the middle of nowhere, Frozenville.
Right. So, you know, what the hell is that about? You can't get to it. You can't get no seed. Meanwhile, we get the Monsanto crap. So what
well,
does that tell
they,
you?
That you can argue, make the point if you're going to make crazy arguments that the seed bank was put together. By the way, Bill Gates is a big investor in the big seed.
Of course he is. Look at the guy. You know he's one of the evil Uber lords. How can he not be? By the way, he hands out a lot of vaccines in Africa.
So anyway,
chipping our brothers in the rainforest.
Well, I'm not going to take that tact, but let's just say this. Perhaps that they put the seed bank together as an end run on Monsanto. How about him being a good guy? And they know the only way they're going to keep the world back, get it back to normal after Monsanto's seeds.
Is to have that. No, that's possible. Okay, I'll accept that. Maybe Bill Gates and Obama actually are not evil.
So I'm looking at, somebody said, oh, the site's down, the futureworldcurrency.com.
That we talked about this on the last show.
It's back up, ladies and gentlemen. Go back and check it out. And they have these gorgeous coins. You know, United Future World Currency, United in Diversity, or Unity in Diversity. This coin is the ugliest piece of crap, although it does look like it has a marijuana plant.
Yeah, cool. I saw that. Like, yeah, Unity, man.
Hey, man, that's a cool coin.
So remember, the UK, of course, as a part of the swine flu, launched a website designed to give sufferers direct access to antiviral drugs. Well, of course, it collapsed under the weight of demand immediately after being launched a few days ago in Gitmo Nation East. Here it is. The pandemic flu service site received more than 9 million visits an hour.
Whatever happened to load balancing? Because I remember when they did the biggest hit ever was they did the Super Bowl or something, and they announced a website for Victoria's Secrets.
Yeah.
So all these horny guys on the computer all day could just go. So they slammed Victoria because they're going to have a live fashion show. So they slammed the Victoria's Secret site with more than these 9 million. I mean, it had to be enormous numbers, and they were, and it held up, I think.
Of course, we did stuff for during Super Bowl commercials as well.
What? All of a sudden, these sites don't hold up at all under just this minor load. When I do the Twitch show with Leo, they mention a website, you know, and it's commercial, and the site goes down immediately just with the 1,000 people that are watching the live feed.
Right. Well, those guys are apparently the same ones that do the sites for the UK government. But I think, you know, I have to believe they're even doing this purposely, because when you read the news report about it, you know, this thing was down for hours and no one could get through. And then,
It takes them forever to get the site back up. What's with that?
Well, that's another thing that's really lame. But then he's saying, you know, we didn't expect there to be so many people who thought they might be sick. Okay, gotcha. So maybe it's just a ploy to get some news out there, A, that this site is around.
No, I think it's just amateur hours, what I think.
Yeah, that could be true. We have a date for the do-over, for the referendum in Ireland.
For just keep doing it.
Lisbon
Treaty.
That's
pass.
Right. Yeah, okay. The Friday, October 2nd. Where they will try once again to get Ireland to vote yes on the Lisbon Treaty so they can finally do everything they wanted and get the European army together. It's amazing. It's amazing how they do that. Ireland said, no, we are not in favor of the Lisbon Treaty. And then all of the European politicians got together and said, hey, that's not acceptable. These cocksuckers have got to say yes. So let's just do it over again. And, of course, everyone goes, okay, well, I guess we didn't do it. We got to do it again.
Yeah, well, you just keep having to do it over and over and over. Eventually, you know, one day, for some reason, it's going to pass because somebody's not going to show up, or they're going to rig it, and that'll be the end of it.
I was reading how people are starting to go buy their breakfast and coffee at Starbucks again, how Starbucks has kind of been up on the rise, and then as you kind of dig into it, you find out that the unemployment checks have finally started flowing. Apparently, many states were not paying out unemployment for up to 3 months.
Mm.
That's
so wait a minute. Let me get this straight. Somebody gets their unemployment check, and so they go buy a $5 coffee at Starbucks, and somebody's made this connection?
It's actually $6 because you get a muffin with your coffee. That's the Starbucks. Well, you know, people are getting like $3,000-$4,000 in benefits because it was
so they're
going to
live it up at Starbucks.
Exactly.
I'd save my. But why don't you just buy some coffee? Buy a coffee maker, people.
Yeah. Hey, we were also going to talk about this statistic where President Obama went before he was talking about having a beer with the professor and the cop. That every single day we do not have universal health care or the new health care bill in place, 14,000 Americans are losing their health care.
Yeah.
And we were like, so where does he get that number from? You know, so it's not an arbitrary number, I presume. And John, you actually nailed it right off the bat.
Yeah, it's a one-to-one representation of the job losses.
Yeah, because if you take,
you're losing 400,000 or 500,000 a month.
Yep.
With the job loss numbers, and that represents those 14,000 people who are losing their benefits. Yeah, they're losing their benefits because they've been fired thanks to the economy. So it's a bogus number.
So now it makes sense why Pelosi said
jobs, 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 and jobs. Let's vote for jobs.
Yeah. So we went to we got to do our food stuff. So we went to a restaurant yesterday, and you've been to a couple of restaurants recently.
Well, I did the Alive restaurant. What else have I been to recently?
You said you went to some place you wouldn't tell me yesterday. We decided last night to go, and because I'm setting up a bunch of things for Adam to do in the Bay Area, and it includes some of these what I consider tourist trap places,
right,
or old classics.
But this was,
and in this case, we went to the Empress of China. And
by the way, let me read you the text message that John sent me. This is what I have to deal with, people. So John says, here it is. I text him yesterday, dinner Saturday night, and he says, what do you think? Just have Dao in tow. What might be fun is us all going to the Funky Express of China. I'm like, the Funky Express of China? I'm like, okay, well, what's the address? 838 Grand Street. So I get to 838 Grand Street. I'm like, well, the Funky Express of China, that's going to be fun. It's the Empress of China. Has nothing to do with funky.
I said this last night. I'll say it again. I have to warn people out there. Do not turn on the spell checker for your Nokia phones.
The T9.
Is that what it's called? That's the name
T9,
of it.
Another fine acquisition.
And it keeps changing the words. And you type, and you look back, it looks okay. And then, meanwhile, it has changed words because it didn't like the word you were typing in. And it was just, I got to turn it off. But the trouble is I turned it on like an idiot. And now I can't, I have to, because it's Symbian, I have to go through menu after menu. Do you really want this menu? Yes. Click yes. No. Do you really want to click yes? Yeah, I do. Oh, do you really, really want to click? You know, it's just ridiculous. The way that Symbian is the world's worst phone operating system because it keeps asking for confirmation after confirmation. But meanwhile, you butt dial everything you've done before if you just sit down for a minute. It's unbelievable.
It's real easy to butt dial. Yeah, I noticed that.
It's like dead easy to butt dial, but try doing anything on the phone without adding confirmation. Sure, you want to call? This is a number. You want to make a phone call? You want to make a voice call? You want to make a multimedia call? What do you think I want to make? So you got to click, 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 click. Anyway, it's annoying.
I love it when you get pissed off about technology, man.
You know, another thing that pisses me off about technology, which you use as the soundbite? What is with these websites? And this is really a problem with Mozilla. I'm going to get rid of Mozilla if this keeps up. So I did that the story earlier in the show, the Dutch car. So I printed out all these letters and stuff. I wanted to talk about a few of them. So I pull up the piece of paper. All it's got is the logo of the newspaper head. There's no story. It won't print it. You have to find the print button that's on the web page itself to rearrange, because the browser sees it, it presents it to me on the screen, but when I hit print under the browser.
Oh, no, John. No, this is a part of the final nail in the coffin of mainstream media. And of course, these guys, even, you know, they're reprinting mainstream media. This is like what AP is now doing. Is now all of a sudden Associated Press has decided you can't use our news anymore. You can't even copy our headlines. We're going to put secret codes and everything when you try and copy this. They don't want you to actually use their news anymore, which of course is what is ultimately going to kill them, because now they're putting themselves into complete irrelevance by doing these types of things.
If the browser shows it on the screen, I should be able to go to File, scroll down and hit the print button, and it should print it.
Yeah, well, they've done some kind of Ajax or JavaScript type thingy where you're looking at a layer or something. So they're spoofing the browser. I think that's what's happening.
Well, whatever. It sucks.
But you follow that AP story?
Which one?
That AP now is...
Oh, yeah. No, AP is... They're completely... They're run by a guy. I forget. I think we talked about this before. And by the way, we've talked about you're starting to get emails now about topics that we've, you know, discussed like a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
It's becoming a little annoying. We should have a FAQ or something. Yeah, the AP guy who I forgot who he is, but I think I mentioned him before.
Tom Curley.
Yeah, Curley. He did something else before AP that was the giveaway that he's going to be going this wrong direction. What he should be doing is licensing their content to everybody cheaply, and he doesn't see that. I mean, it's just
here's his quote: "If someone can build multi-billion-dollar businesses out of keywords, we can build multi-hundred-million businesses out of headlines, and we're going to do that."
What is the logic of that?
You knew the guy.
No, I knew of him.
There is no logic.
No, the logic doesn't exist. There's no logic to what he just said. It's crazy talk.
But it's also, can we just accept that maybe news for profit is just going to go away? That it was never, I mean, remember the Tiffany Network, CBS, the evening news? It cost them millions of dollars to produce this show. It was the loss leader, but it was real news. It was Walter Cronkite. It was Dan Rather. It was, you know, it was
well,
real.
Well, that's because in the early days of television. In the early days of television, it was required that the government owned the airwaves and they gave you a license and you were obligated to serve the public. That
right.
means you had to have so much of this kind of news. You had to have news. You had to have public affairs in the morning. You had to do all these positive things to serve the public and improve our life. And then one day, I don't know, they said, whatever, just do whatever you want. Reality TV shows, fine. And so now it's just all dumb, just completely crap. It's just garbage from end to end, and they wonder why they're failing. The joke of it is that when they felt an obligation to help the public with good news and information, you know, and actual, you know, work involved, foreign correspondence and the like, they were more successful.
So the good news is that with the internet, and this is, goes back to my point, John, that we are rising above all of this, and we are actually creating a global consciousness. No, we're not sinking. We are actually rising above it. We have listeners who we have named our producers. They source things for us. They find things. The number of emails I've received from doctors and nurses in hospitals who are telling me things that they're afraid, like, please don't use my name, please don't repeat this. They're being forced into vaccinations for the swine flu. They are actually performing journalistic duties. News is happening, and you and I, in effect, are kind of reporting it. This is exactly the way it's supposed to be. We are not sponsored by Monsanto, although we give them enough exposure for them to pay us some money. Hint, hint. We have no.
Can you imagine if they did that and one of their in a board meeting somebody played the show? Why? What did you do? You gave them what?
So, you know, this is a model that clearly is working. Now, it's not working. You know what? Can we just have people send us gold instead of electronic money? No, seriously. Why don't we just set it up, John? Because I'm not interested in the money.
Get the gold.
No, but they can send us their rings. The jewelry.
Send jewelry. The address is listed on the blog.
Seriously. Wouldn't that be a lot? Everyone has some gold in the house. We know that eventually the dollar's going to collapse, that all currencies will go away. It's just it's pieces of paper that are completely meaningless.
What kind of a business model is this?
I love this business model. I would like to change it. Isn't it easy to melt gold, John? Isn't it simple?
It's really easy.
Can't you just put it in the microwave? Can you?
No, you can't put it in the microwave. What do you do? It would blow the microwave up.
How hot does gold have to get before it starts to melt?
You can do it over the stove.
You can do it over the stove. So why don't we just have people mail us like an ounce, you know, or whatever, you know, if you got whatever it is.
Mail us an ounce, folks.
John, seriously, think about this. I would much rather receive gold.
I'm not arguing against it. I just think people are just as soon. Well, maybe.
No,
let's go over some of the people that gave us money.
Have you ever been to a pawn shop recently? There was enough gold in the pawn shop that people are, you know, getting like $10 for, and then the pawn shop turns around and sells your shit for $300. Why don't we just melt your shit down and send it to us? Seriously.
Gobs of gold are welcome.
Yes.
The address is on the blog, dvorak.org/blog. You can't miss it.
Meanwhile, people have been using the old antiquated system to help us, and we highly appreciate it.
Yes, it's called PayPal. But by the way, you can use debit cards and electronic checks and everything through the system.
So you can use your unemployment debit card to send us money?
Yeah.
Fine.
That would be cool.
That would be highly cool. Maybe we could make debit cards.
And by the way, I'm still working on this. I have the splash page. I thought it was a little amateur, so I'm going to work on another one, which is you can have at work. You can, because we now encourage people to listen to the show at work.
Yes.
So you put the splash page up, and you have the thing running in the background, the show. The splash page says that you're listening to a lecture about management.
Is that on noagenda.squarespace.com?
It'll be on all over the place when I'm
finished. So it's not up yet?
No.
Oh, okay.
I said I'm going to finish. I didn't like it. I wanted to make it a little slicker.
I got you.
David Bozer, Minerals. By the way, this week we got a bunch of Americans that gave us money.
Oh, good. Finally.
A bunch of Texans, too, which is weird. David Bozer from Mineral City, Ohio, gave us 50. Joseph Stacy of Sammamish, Washington. There's a whole bunch of weird named towns up in Washington, by the way. Anyway, Stacy, 50. Rasa Sutkus of Chicago, Illinois. 50. Cynical Computers of Stawell, Victoria, Australia, gave us $51.87.
Ah, I know why.
Okay.
I'm looking for his email. He told me why. It was like, oh, here it is. It's the smallest number expressible as the sum of two cubes in two different ways multiplied by three. So that he would get a mention. By the way, Mike is his name, is also broadcasting the stream via a nice little 15-watt transmitter in Australia.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, he's in Victoria, Australia, Gitmo, far south. Mike, thank you very much. Highly appreciated. And so when he goes shopping, he listens to the No Agenda stream on his little 15-watt transmitter, which I presume is an FM transmitter.
15 watts is a lot.
15. It's still a lot.
That is a lot.
Yeah. Now depending on your antenna, you could get quite some reach.
If you're
out
in a
of
flat
that.
Area of part of Australia, which is a lot of it, you could get 10 miles or more with that.
Yeah. Easily.
Yeah, I think so. Good. We need more of that. James Stapleton, Prospect, South Australia, 50. Andrew Rye in Richardson, Texas, and here's another odd one, 5437.
No.
Don't know.
No.
Niels Martens of Lübeck, Deutschland, sent us 50.
Soon to invade the U.S.
Yeah, he'll be he'll be shooting us shortly. John Kilburn of Houston, Texas, 50. And by the way, it was the number for H1N1 was 4161. That was the phone code. And the guy who gave that to us,
right.
Which is
4161 is H1N1, right.
He says we should use that as the code for H1N1 anytime we talk about
it. All right, 4161, everybody. That's the new code.
Joseph Kelly of Baytown, Texas, gave us a nice $100. Thank you, Joseph. Nico Walraven, if it, that is indeed your real name.
That's a Dutch name, I think.
Really? Nico Walraven?
Walraven, yeah, I think so.
Oh, well, he's in Singapore.
Mm. Those Dutch, city. They get around. They get around, you know?
They do get around. Well, you know, they owned, you know, they were owned part of the Dutch East Indies. I mean, so there'd be a lot of Dutch in that area.
Yep.
And, of course, Singapore is a fine city because they fine you for just about anything you do there.
It's yeah, spitting, chewing gum, etc.
They like that joke there. Tim Dietrich of Cambridge, Ontario, 50. And it's kind of interesting because it's an amazing number of British-named towns in Ontario. There's London, Ontario. There's Cambridge.
Well, the Queen still runs the show over there, even though the Canadians refuse to believe it.
And then finally, Larry Baldwin of Buena Park, California, home of Knott's Berry Farm, gave us 52.
So no, well, thank you very much, everybody.
Yes, no
nights. No new nights. No layaway nights?
Not that I know of.
None of these $50, they aren't layaway nights, are they, by any chance?
No, these are just straight up.
Okay. The American Meteorological Society released a press release.
I'm worried about this, by the way, because it doesn't make sense to me that this would happen. I know where you're going.
Yeah, this is a policy statement of the American Meteorological Society, proposals to geoengineer climate. Is this what you were talking about?
Yeah, it's one of them. By the way, I got a gold melting point of let's see, 1947 degrees Fahrenheit. Maybe it'd be tough to get it on the stove. You could probably do it with a torch, though.
A blowtorch. So one of those crack. Just get your crack torch, everybody.
You know, get a crucible. You got to get a crucible. Get them
just
at a
any crack torch will do. Okay, any crack torch.
I think you need a little more total heat than a crack torch is going to get you. But
the crack torch is great.
Get a crucible. I think you're going to have trouble with that. You want a big torch, you know, one of those big giant ones for that use for melting solder.
So,
and I think that will melt the gold
in a
crucible.
I really think, John, that we're onto something here because what we'll do is we will store the gold. Okay, so get a crucible. Melt your jewelry. You know, this, I'm sure there's something you're saying, I don't wear that ring. I don't give a shit about that chain or whatever. And John, maybe we'll have to give them a little bit of advice, you know, if it's, cause there's different mixtures, you know, it could be gold with some other stuff in there. I mean, is there a way to just get the pure gold out?
No, you're going to just give us the melted goo and we'll take care
we'll
of the rest.
We'll take care of the rest. Okay. You just give us, melt your jewelry, send us the goo. Okay. And you know what? You should actually make it into, get a tin soldier, mold or something like that so you can melt it into something nice.
Cause that'd be cool.
That'd be very cool what people melt it into.
Yeah.
You can pick this up in any hobby shop. You know, you can get a.
Actually, go to a hobby shop and you can ask them how to do the melting gold.
Right.
Cause a lot of people make their own jewelry and that's what they do.
So then look up the address on Dvorak.org and just send it off. You know, how do they send that? Registered or what's the best way to do that, John?
Oh, well, it's going to be heavy. So I just put it in a box.
What do you think? Dude, they're not melting like bricks. I mean, it's going to be heavy.
We hope.
It's going to be heavy. It's not going to be heavy.
Just mail it.
So we are going to create.
Don't put a return address. Just mail it.
The No Agenda Gold Cash. Okay,
we're gonna get one chunk of gold.
No, I think you're wrong.
And this guy for the rest of our life is
gonna
be hounding us about what happened to the gold cash.
John, I think you're wrong. I think that people will actually do this. Look, not everyone has money, but everyone's got some piece of trinket laying around they can melt down, and then you send it to us, and then when it's time, then
we'll take
it
to the assayist.
Then we will coin the new money. And then we'll be able to rebuild society based upon the gold that we have collected together. This is not a bad idea. It
I
could
know
really
how you're
going to
rebuild
on.
A society on $45, but anything's possible.
It all depends on what you
It'll
charge for stuff.
It'll be real money, though. That's true.
It'll be real money, and you know we can make new coins. Wouldn't it be cool to have our heads on the coin? Come on, man. That would be awesome.
You know what happened to Ron Paul's boys for doing their own coinage, right?
Well, that's why we're not going to do coinage yet. We're just collecting the gold, but only when it's time, when everything has fallen apart, everything. I mean, look, I got gold. I'll throw my gold into the kitty. I got a bar, man. I got all kinds of stuff. I'll throw it in, you know, so match me. And there you go. Match me.
Okay, so if we get $350,000 worth of gold, you have to throw your bar in.
Fuck yeah. Done. Consider it done. Consider it done.
Yeah, it'd be funny if it actually happened.
So the American Meteorological Society recommends, one, enhance research on the scientific and technological potential for geoengineering the climate, including research on intended and unintended environmental responses. Two, coordinated study of historical, ethical, legal, and social implications of geoengineering that integrates international, interdisciplinary, and intergenerational issues and perspectives that includes lessons from past efforts to modify weather and climate, i.e. chemtrails. And three, development and analysis of policy options to promote transparency and international cooperation in exploring geoengineering options along with restrictions on reckless efforts to manipulate the climate system, i.e. chemtrails.
Chemtrails. I get the sense that this is a hoax.
Really?
But it doesn't make any sense.
But isn't this really from the AMETSOC.org? Isn't that really the society?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I've never been to the site before. I have no idea if it's a hoax or not.
I don't. Here's the site, man. Check it out. I don't think it's a hoax. It looks pretty legit to me. Let me look at the PDF version of this. Yeah, there's a lot in here. It looks
policy
looks
statement, blah, blah, blah.
American Meteorological Society, 45 Beacon Street, Boston, Massachusetts. Oh, this is good. This statement is considered in force until July 2012, unless superseded by a new statement. Yeah, 2012. Of course it is. You won't be around in 2012. Mother Earth is going to wipe you fuckers out first with your geoengineering. How arrogant is that to think that you can mess with the Mother Earth?
I just find the whole thing to be peculiar.
It's creepy is what it is. But, you know, this has been going... The government has admitted in multiple documents that they've been doing this.
Oh, that's horseshit.
It isn't... Okay. Ah, for Thursday, I will get the...
Oh, yeah. Oh, they see the cloud and it rains once in a while. Wow.
No, the chemtrails.
Chemtrails are bull.
Send your gold to the address on Dvorak.org. We'll melt it and match it. And
for you normal people, go to Dvorak.org/NA or noagenda.squarespace.com and help us out here for this week. We can use it. And
it's the No Agenda Melt It and Match program.
We'll put that up on the... If you go to Dvorak.org/NA, I'll change the site. And by the way, we also have to rediscuss at some point the dinner... That yeah. we want to do
at the Funky Express. We're getting some interest,
but everybody's like, one guy's in Chicago, another guy's in the Netherlands, another guy's in Australia. I mean, it's going to be hard to do.
Well, I had an idea about that, John. Why don't we just do a tour? Why don't we go around the world, and we could certainly start with the U.S. and hit a couple cities and just do a dinner tour.
Yeah,
and you know, and people wouldn't have to pay the $500. Just bring us your gold. You think I'm crazy, right?
Bring us your dead.
This is not a bad idea. It really isn't. I don't care about digits in a computer. Give me gold. That's something we can really work with. And then, you know, you show up and it'll be like, you know, how they tested to see if you weren't a German spy in the World War II, and then you'd ask you questions
and
like,
"And indeed, like, the show drives off the road like at 1 hour and 34 minutes."
Like who won the World Series? And if you didn't have the right answer, then
you were
a German spy.
Have.
No, you're right. You'd have to shoot me immediately. But you know, we could ask questions about No Agenda, and then you know, if you answer the questions properly, then we give you some gold. You know, we give you part of the Melt and Match program, and then you could actually help rebuild the Earth.
And into a ditch.
All right, be cynical. Go ahead. I love meeting your daughter, by the way. She's very sweet.
Yeah, so we didn't do the restaurant review. We'll get to it next week.
Coming to you from the Minimum Security Confinement Center. Did I just hear a deadbolt click? No. In an undisclosed loft location in the Crackpot Command Center here. I'm messing it up again. Gitmo Nation West, San Francisco, California. That's me, Adam Curry.
Wow. That was pretty bad.
Yep.
I'm here in Northern Silicon Valley without a lot of things to say other than I'm John C. Dvorak.
Remember, melt and match. Until Thursday, where we talk to you again right here, same time, during your management course on No Agenda.